New York peanut.
Doesn't it go, do you like pina coladas and song stuck in your head?
And getting caught in the rain.
Yes.
Oh, so we're all
we
wrong.
Got there. We got there.
Hello, you. It's time once again to pour one out with the Pouring Old Man. My name is Russell, and this is episode 11 of the Pouring Old Man podcast. Our podcast comes out every Monday morning on all the usual podcast services. Plus, you can find us on all the social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, even Twitter, if you so desire. And apparently, Pity has actually set up a Pinterest page, so maybe check that out. Maybe just give that one a miss. So this intro is just a little bit different from our usual rigmarole. That is because we had some minor technical issues with the recording of last week's show. I don't really want to get into the details of whose fault it was and who didn't turn on the microphone, but let's just say that my new nickname amongst the boys is Minor Technical Issue. But without further ado, on today's show, we will be joined by the man who's taken me to HR for performance-related issues and for allegedly calling him a West Coast cooler. It's Mr. Anthony Pitt. But the first voice you'll hear is the man with more bear miles than air miles. It's Mr. Warren Crawford. Warren, what have you been drinking?
Yeah, so I've been a little bit busy recently, actually. I popped down to Black Ops last weekend, and in my usual spirit, I actually got myself a paddle and tried a couple of their beers that have just come onto tap there. So I tried the Troposphere, which I actually wasn't overly fussed with. Actually, a few of the beers I tried there I wasn't overly excited about. I tried the Hopman Out. That was okay. Troposphere was okay. Two that I did really enjoy was the Hop Bro Super Choice Bro and the Sea Breeze, so much so that I actually bought myself home a four-pack of the Sea Breeze, which were quite good. I also tried out the Ballistic Hawaiian Haze this week, which was incredible. It was really good beer. Plenty of flavor, you know, the real tropical flavor, pineapple and other melons, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, it was really quite tasty, and I really enjoyed that one. And you know, this is going to hit the Pouring Old Men bingo. I picked up a Bridge Road B2 Bomber, the latest release, which was $35 worth, which certainly not cheap for a 750ml bottle. And look, overall, I was a bit disappointed with it. I've said this before, you know, one of the nitros I'd had recently was quite flat. It seems to be a pretty common theme with these guys. I'm not sure if it's the transport up here. I'm sure if I tried it on tap down in Victoria, it'd probably be unreal. But this one was flat. Like, it was supposed to be a stout, but it just lacked a little bit of that crispiness from that carbonation. Anyway, it was just lacking a little bit of that energy from it. So overall, the flavor was fine. If it was a $10 beer, I probably would have gone, yeah, okay, fine. But $35 made it hard to swallow. And last of all, I tried the Guava and Lime Sour from Happy Valley Brewing. This is a new can-only release. And that one hit me strangely. Initially, I didn't like it, but as I went through the beer, I actually really started to enjoy it. And I think I was probably picking out a bit more of the complexities in it. Initially, maybe I was drinking it too fast, so I wasn't able to appreciate those subtle flavors. But by the end of it, I was actually really enjoying it. So that one was a great one as well. But that was all for me this week.
Well, thanks for that, Warren. So my turn for what have I been drinking. This week, my beers have been mostly dominated by the Beer Cartel Advent Calendar. It is week one. I've been looking forward to this one for a while. It has started off pretty well, I must admit. It's always a bit of an unknown what you're going to get from this, because you literally don't know what you're going to get. So you always got a bit of trepidation about the quality and the range that's going to come through. Do they make it too boring? Do they make it too bold and crazy? But they've struck a good balance so far. So they kicked off with a beer called Yippee-ki-yay. That is a NEPA from Bouncing Culture. That is really nice. It's a really solid way to kick things off. Day two was one I feared might be a little bit too dull and boring. It was a West Coast IPA from 7 Mile Brewing, but it was actually really nice. I give him good props for that one. That was a really good drop. The most surprising beer that I've had so far was from Sunday Road Brewing Company, and it was the Holidays Coffee Lager. Now, normally when you get coffee in a beer, it's in your typical sort of stout, it's in your porters, your dark beers. So to have the coffee mixed into a lager was something quite unique, and it worked. Like, you didn't have the stout characteristics or the porter characteristics, like, you know, competing for the flavor. All you got was just a clean coffee flavor, and that was a really different selling point of it. So I actually quite enjoyed that one. I was skeptical. I thought it might be, you think back to the white stout that Stone and Wood brought out last year, which was their So Long Darkness. That just seemed a little weird because it was coffee in a lager thing. But this is had a darker colour from the coffee, but it's really, really nice. The other highlight, I have to say, I've never been too wowed by Source Brewing and their mango range. They're fine. They just haven't knocked my socks off. But day four was Pineapple Squeak, Pineapple Nipah. That was outstanding. That was absolutely outstanding. I hope they bring this into a full release because it just screamed pineapple, freshly squeezed pineapple. I don't know if you can squeeze a pineapple. Let's try and crush the pineapple. Freshly crushed pineapple. Take the spiky bits off first so you don't, like, you know, mess up your hands. And yeah, it was lovely. It was refreshing. It was, this was all being Friday after a long day of work. I was fanging for a beer afterwards, and this really, for me, hit the spot. So far, the only, that was not even really downside, just the slightly down point was the one from Jetty Road, which is on Saturday. That was a Mochaccino Stout, and it was nice. It was just a bit weak with its flavours, but that was probably the only one that was not exceptional. So it was pretty high standard so far. I'm looking forward to the rest of the 3 weeks coming up of drinking these beers. It's a great experience. Non-advent calendar ones that I'll just mention as well. Now, one that I had the other week, and it was absolutely outstanding, probably one of my beers of the year, was from Yamundi Brewing. This is their Mac Dunk. It's a macadamia dunkel. I want to find more beers with macadamia in it because it just works. And they were smart. They used the dunkel beer with this one instead of your typical sort of IPAs and stuff like that. You know, the dime a dozen people throw stuff in. They could have easily done, a stout, a porter, a dark beer, but they've gone a more sort of malty, smooth, easy drinking dunkel kind of variety. Mix some macadamia with it, and it was amazing. I believe it was only on tap. It was up, like I said, it was at the Sunshine Coast of the week. If you're hanging around, you see it on tap, give it a go, because it was truly something special. But yeah, that's all for me. That's all from the intro. Time now for show and tell.
Yeah, so that's two good milkshake beers we've got now.
Yes.
So, sorry.
No, you go.
I was just going to say, so Deeds milkshakes are bringing all the boys to the yard?
They definitely brought them all to the yard. Like, it was, it had the sweetness of the raspberry, it had the tartness of the blueberry, but you could clearly taste that lactose, so it was a creamy scent. So it reminded me of drinking a milkshake, eating ice cream, that sort of feel. So it was really good. It was subtle as well. So being a sour, I thought it might have had an initial, like, real tartness to it, but because of the cream aspect, it was subtle. And being imperial, it had a punch to it, so it didn't last long. And yeah, sausage burner on it. But yeah, really good beer. I was very impressed with that one.
Nice, have to check it out.
If you can find it, grab it. Yeah.
On the way to buy it, probably.
That's, yeah.
Unless it's included in the case of 100 beers, that's, which that's, I don't funny. Think so.
Yeah.
That's what I tell my wife.
What's that?
If you can find it, grab it.
You gotta be careful. She might find it somewhere else.
Well, clearly your wife doesn't listen to the podcast either. So.
Actually, she does. So I'm definitely going to hear about this in about 5 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, so shout out to Warren's ex-wife. nice. See, time for show and tell, I reckon.
I think so. It's definitely worked up a thirst.
Yep. All right, so today on show and tell, we're running with a bit of a beers to drink at a Christmas party. It's a loose interpretation. It's open to there's various tactics you can have with this one. I thought, like, you can either drink responsibly, or you drink something that's going to, like, grab people's attention, or you can drink something that no one else is going to touch. Mm. Which I used to do with Dr. Pepper. Yes. That's why I love Dr. Pepper so much.
If
you live in a communal house and drink Dr. Pepper, no one steals it.
Yeah. I don't know if you've done this before, but if you're ever holding a barbecue and you're on a budget, fill it with VB because nobody will drink it.
Yeah.
But you still look like you're putting beer on for people.
True. Yeah, that's how you get, like, a the ton bitter or something like that, I suppose. Anyway, my tactic for this one is I've gone the responsible, boring route here.
So you're driving.
I'm driving to a Christmas party. You don't want to get done by the RBT. You want to be responsible. So you want a nice, refreshing light beer. So
yes.
I've given a go from Stone and Wood, East Point. This is their brand spanking new light beer.
Could get a fair rollout over the Christmas period with the warm weather. Again, you don't want something too heavy because... Mm-hmm.
I'm curious of this one because obviously, you know, the old days of light beer back in, like, you know, the early 2000s where you watered down premium lagers. Like, you had your Cascade Premium Light, your Bogues Light,
Hahn
Premium Light, exactly. Yeah. Every premium beer had a light variant of it. It was just the same but a bit watery. Whereas this apparently is supposed to be quite different. They've soured it, they've tinkered it, so it must be a bit zingy, but I suppose we'll be the judge of that.
Yeah. You know, I think beers like this are great, especially in Queensland. You know, if you're watching the cricket or if you're playing cricket or, you know, you're enjoying time outside in the sun, a light beer that's refreshing that isn't just going to get you blitzed
absolutely.
Like, in a couple of hours is perfect.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
I didn't understand that when I moved up here, and now I understand why 4X is so popular, gold.
The 4X gold, because it is just that easy drinking. It's standard drink in it. It's, it's nice and light.
Depending on how far north in Queensland you are, you can start at 9 o'clock.
Yep. So crossing the border.
I don't want your water, Warren. No. I want your glass there, mate.
That will water it down.
Got a bit excited, sorry Ross.
It's got a very light colour.
Yeah, it's very light, sort of hazy, almost like straw colour kind of thing to it, doesn't it? It's got a significant haze to it.
Got an interesting smell.
The same colour as their Pacific Ale, just a little bit lighter, I'd say.
So the blurb on the can, so you got our low alcohol beer pays tribute to Australia's most easterly point where rolling waves strike the cliffs off Cape Byron. Inspired by the salt spray that fills the air, East Point is thirst quenching and lightly hopped, a refreshing beer that you can enjoy while planning your next move.
It does have that citrus sour smell to it.
I can definitely smell that saltiness to it as well.
Yeah.
You know, I think one of the things, while you're enjoying your first sip there, one of the things that's always put me off experimenting with light craft beer probably is those premium light beers we've had in the past that are just watery and have no flavour.
Yeah, they get a bit bland and stuff like that. I've just had my first sip. That's not bad, actually. Like, you know, it's got some really interesting, like, delicate little flavours in there. It's got the real zestiness to it.
Nice. 2.7%.
It's alright having light beer, but you get bored with them after a while. And you want something a bit of flavour, you want something a bit of, like, you know, a bit of taste to it. And that's
quite good.
That's actually alright.
It's almost one of those ones where you tend to start with the heavier beer and then use the light beers as just filler throughout the day. But this could save that effort of bringing a separate beer.
No, it's funny because the light beer has really gone out of fashion lately. Like, the mid-strengths are, you know, still quite popular, but then everyone's going towards the non-alcoholic sort of route there. That seems to be growing in popularity, depending on where you look, I suppose. But the actual straight-on light beer is a rare thing these days. And
you know, I think the thing that bothers me the most about those zero-alcohol beers is they're the same price as beer. Like, why am I going to drink that?
Yeah.
Unless you're an alcoholic, which I get, and you still want to enjoy it, but...
And this thing, like, I get the concept behind them because you do sometimes feel like a beer, but I know there's people that work in certain industries where they can't have alcohol on them. Certain companies ban alcohol at their Christmas parties and those sorts of things, so... Oh,
that's disgraceful.
And technically, you can drink it while you're driving.
Well, that's true.
So if you're a chronic drink driver, just have a non-alcohol beer. You might get pulled over a dozen times on your way home.
Well, you know, I get it because I remember reading something a little while ago talking about someone was going, well, why is craft beer so expensive in comparison to regular beer? And the answer was, well, we actually put a lot more high quality ingredients into it, which is fair the cost enough, of yeah. production yeah. is higher. The same can't be said for like a Carlton Zero, for example.
Well, I imagine there would be costs involved in getting the alcohol out of the beer as well. So
I suppose it depends on the brewing process.
The ingredients in a zero alcohol beer would be the same as a alcoholic beer.
Mm.
But I suppose there's an extra process there, either or different process to keep the alcohol from either take it out or not put it in the first place or... Yeah, so I imagine that that'd be why it's still a bit more expensive, I guess.
Mm. Anyway, we kind of got off track.
You're selling it for the beer companies.
Yeah. In no way is Russ sponsored by any of these zero alcohol beer companies.
I just may work at a club that has beer contracts. No.
Yeah.
I gave it away.
I'm trying to identify...
By day, I'm a craft beer drinker. By night, I pedal for its gold and VB scooters.
There is something, isn't there?
Fine, what the flavours are. It's there's passion fruit there. That's I get passion fruit.
I'm picking
fruit.
Up the sea spray saltiness kind of thing to it. There's almost, like a lime zestiness, like that little sourness to it. And
that's, I think, passion fruit. Little bit of lime, they may have used salt water in the brewing process. And there's just something else there. I'm assuming that's the hop flavor. It's just got that sort of little bit of a strawy sort of undertone to it, but I don't know.
I like it,
I could easy, it's like playing out in the backyard playing cricket or having a long day in the barbecue, and I've got an easy knockback a few of those on a Christmas party.
The most dangerous thing about these is if you drink these all night at a Christmas party, you won't be able to just sleep wherever you like you usually do after a Christmas party.
There's no excuse for getting handsy.
Maybe this is a good one for the CEOs that tend to forget their place.
Or maybe it's one for the people that got caught last year. They, if they mess up this year, they'll get the can. Yeah. So
here's your HR assigned beer for the evening.
Well, it's the best light beer I've had.
I would pay that.
Yeah, absolutely. If I was need to, drink responsibly and drive home, then I'd go that again. There's the cracker. You want to give us a score?
Yeah, I like it. 6.5.
Yeah,
I think that's a nice solid score because it's not special, but. It's refreshing.
It's up against it to compete with the ones we had last week, which are high scoring big malt flavors. But as far as the job that it does it really, really well. So I'll give it a solid 7, which is pretty good for a light beer. Definitely recommend it if you need to drink responsibly.
Yes.
Yeah. And look, in terms of its purpose, I think it hits the mark perfectly, and I'd say it's a 7 as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's an enjoyable beer. I could drink it all night long and be quite content. Yeah, I'm really happy with that.
For me, it's a better option than drinking a Forest Gold or Carlton Mid. If you're drinking a lower alcohol beer, don't get that. Grab some of these and just a lot nicer, lighter flavour.
Might take a carton of these over to the in-laws because I know he likes mid-strengths.
Yeah.
So be a good option. At least I can have a couple.
It'd be interesting to see how this competes with the likes of your Great Northern Super Crisp and those more premium lagers, like the Byron Bay premium lager and all those that kind of taste. They all taste the same. They all taste like
because they're all one standard drinks.
Yeah.
Actually, how many standard drinks is this?
0.8.
Wow.
No, they've done well. They've done well with that one.
Yes.
Alright, so time now for show and tell round 2. Warren, what have you brought to the Christmas party?
Have you got your bingo cards ready? The Black Ops Hornet IPA.
Yes. Ah, classic.
And the reason I chose this, I think it's just a great solid craft beer that you can drink all day, every day. And it's enjoyable enough to be crisp, light, and refreshing.
Yep.
It's a beer that you can give out to people comfortably, but they don't have to be craft drinkers.
Yeah. It's definitely a beer that you can have more than one of as well. Like a lot of some really nice West Coast IPAs, you have one. I don't really want another one of them.
Yeah.
But that you can go back and time and time again and knock it back again.
And the Hornet being the 6%, you can have a few of them if you want to really get
It's got a little bit of sting in its tail.
I did hear that. Yeah, the dad joke. You can go the Super Hornet if you want a little bit more of a kick. So it gives you the options where you still got the flavours. It just...
I'm pretty sure, I think last Christmas on with around the indoors place, I think that's what I was drinking for that very reason. So, yeah.
And depending on your pace, like it'll drown out Grandma's racist comments very quickly.
And if it doesn't, just go the Super Hornet and they'll drown out
everything.
Drown out the rest of the afternoon.
Yeah, that's a good point. Give Grandma the Super Hornet.
And that way she falls asleep and, get peace and quiet and keep going on the Hornets.
Well, they've got the Mega Hornet sometimes as well, so that might be one for Grandma.
Yeah, sounds dangerous. the other reason I chose it was I was thinking about the reason why we do this podcast, and that's really to educate people on trying new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we're right into our craft beer. So we'll go out, we walk through the bottle shop for hours, annoy the shit out of the guy behind the till, ask him a bunch of questions. But for the majority of people, like the Gabs Festival Top 100 pointed this out to me, that a lot of people just enjoy your Stone and Wood and your Coopers and
that's it.
Your basic craft beer. So I think this is just a top-notch everyday drink.
Well, that's it. You can take it around at Christmas and share it around to a few people, even though you probably don't want to share them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if someone does ask you, oh, can I have one of those? It's one where you know at least they're not going to tip it down the sink.
Yeah.
So,
Once you pick them up off the floor, dust them off, you can hand them again.
Yeah.
So should we crack into it?
Yeah,
give it a crack. Definitely.
Unleash the Kraken.
Does have that great colour.
Is it lovely sort of almost amber kind of, deeper amber colour.
Basically matches the label that they put on the can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very close in colour.
A bit more?
I'm not going to say no to Does a bear shit? No.
I'm going to read the back of the can.
Yep.
So, dry, angry, and bitter sounds like Uncle Jim. Hornet has some serious sting with a balancing aroma of stone and citrus fruits. This modern IPA drinks with a subtle sweetness and a sturdy presence of hop bitterness, which I think sums it up quite nicely.
Yeah, absolutely. It just smells amazing. Peachy kind of, bit of a sort of mango-y, tropical kind of fragrance of it.
Perfect for Queensland.
Yeah. Mm. It's definitely that stone fruit.
Absolutely.
Which is nice. I think I refer to the Hornet as like a steak when you go to your local. It's just good, reliable. You know exactly what you're getting. You can't go wrong with it.
Mm. It's not the Kobe beef. It's not the fancy stuff. It's just the good, reliable, your porterhouse or your rump steak and nothing wrong with that. It's a great beer.
And I think that's the thing. You've got beer drinkers in Australia that are, and I was born with a VB in my hands. I'm going to die with a VB in my hands. Fine. You've got people that want to experiment a little bit but don't want to go too far.
Mm-hmm.
They're not interested in the porters and the creamy beers and the sours. And something like this you can find on tap in a lot of places as well.
Yep.
So it's accessible, it's affordable, it's enjoyable, and it's just broad.
Yep.
And now Black Ops are mainstream, they pop up in your BWS.
Exactly, your BWS first choice, all those ones, they are increasingly widespread.
It's just, they're easy to get a hold of.
They've got great branding, they've got a great social media and marketing team as well, so they're always out there. The recent... was a Bear Cartel survey. They're on top of quite a few polls there, which shows how much they engage the local community and through their social media and marketing. And people love them and for a very good reason.
It's just a great beer.
There's not much to be said about it, but that's kind of the beauty of it.
That's it. It is an IPA. It gives everything that an IPA should be. There's fruit, there's bitterness, there's hop. It's just good beer. Out of 10?
9 for me.
I'd probably go an 8. I was thinking about the 9, but I'd go an 8, which is still a very good beer.
And that's where I'd be, is an 8. It's just, it's good.
Yeah.
It's nothing else to be said.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's very, very enjoyable, that one. All right, now time for the news. wants to kick us off the news here. You got something there for us?
I've got one happy birthday.
Oh, go on then.
Yeah.
Indulge us.
Yep. So Helios turned 3. So that's, I think, this week. So
yep. They're pretty solid little brewery, actually.
They've been doing some really good things this year. Like, they have their good solid core range.
Yep.
This year, I think they've done some really fun, just different experimental.
Yep.
And then also some good traditional style ones as well. Yep. So
absolutely.
And they always pack a punch.
The other birthday I was mentioning as well was Bad Shepherd. These guys have popped up on my radar a lot lately. They are turning 5, which, you know, I haven't heard about them for the last like 4.9 years. So.
Yeah.
But the couple of beers I've had of there has been great. So yeah, happy birthday to those guys. On the news, I had to mention this. Little Bang Brewing. Everyone loves a limited release hazy IPA.
Yep.
These guys are releasing 12,000 unique hazy IPAs.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, so what they've done, they haven't been messing around with labels and auto-generating names and stuff like that. So obviously the beer inside each can is exactly the same, but on the labels, they got a whole list. It's 3-word names. It could be like, you know, liquid octopus motor vehicle or something like that. And they have a whole bunch of different names. They'll scramble them all up and print that on the label. And then they've got the same sort of thing with the label itself. So the design, the colors and all that, all randomized, yeah. And then print the label different.
There's a good Christmas present for someone who wants to branch out into craft beer but doesn't necessarily know. You can walk in with a 4-pack and go, I bought you 4 different beers.
Yeah, 4 different beers.
Can you tell me what the difference is?
You can upsell it. This is the only beer like this in the world. It's one of a kind. Like, save it for something special.
Yep.
I was really curious about this because I was thinking like 12,000 different beers.
Mm.
Like, it's a logistical nightmare,
yep.
To have all those different product lines in the system. Yeah. But if it's one beer and just...
It's one beer, it's 12,000 different labels. They're having a bit of fun with that one.
Yeah.
I also want to mention Range Brewing from up here in Brisbane. Just opened up their second location. This is in Abbotsford in Victoria. So if you're down in Victoria and you're allowed to go out the house these days, so go check them out. They make some super beers. And they're very highly regarded.
I'd be intrigued to see their super birds as well.
If they do make some, maybe they do like chicken wings. There'll be some super birds there.
Oh, yeah. They had buffalo wings.
Absolutely. Yeah, let us know if they have served buffalo wings.
Yeah.
I think pizza's up here. They might change from down there.
I've got one as well.
Go on then.
Yeah. So recently, Pirate Life Brewing released an ice bock or ice beer.
Yep.
Yes.
It's a quadruple IPA, and it's 29.2% alcohol.
So mid strength.
Yep, mid strength in a 250ml can.
Yep. So that's what size of Red Bull can, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, standard Red Bull can. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And it does say best shared. If that isn't a party starter or pre-drinks, I don't know what
I think is. That's just the whole party. Like, it's the beginning, middle, end of the party. Like, you start off in suit and tie, you end up running around your boxes around the neighbourhood with a plastic banana on your head or something.
That's not for the CEOs to drink at the Christmas party.
The instant lawsuit one.
Yeah. The crazy thing with that, though, is that they all sold out.
Yeah, in about 23 minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah, online. So it's, I believe there are a small number of stockers getting them. So
it's funny, I heard it was on the black market now.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Was it between them and PlayStation 5s on black market?
People selling them on eBay for 3 times what they're worth.
It would be interesting to see if you can find it in somewhere around the place, but...
I think it's going to be one of those beers that just tastes awful, and they've done it purely for the marketing.
They've generated some publicity for it. They got some attention, and yeah, that's all they want.
Correct.
I don't know. What are the official guidelines of how many eyes you can put in front of an IPA for each level? Like, the Eagle. I think they call that a quadruple IPA.
Mm.
But there's a lot of difference between a 12% IPA and a 29% ice box. So, how many percentages behind each eye? Like, it's, you know, you think
it must be around the 4.5 to 5 per eye, yeah.
But then, because then if a 12% Eagle is four IPAs, and this is a four IPA as well. So it's.
Oh, I have another question. Yeah. What do all those I's stand for? Is it just India Pale Ale?
I think the first one's India Pale Ale, and the second one's Imperial, and then all the rest are just Imperial, India Pale Ale. Maybe.
Which reminds me of the Imperial Death March.
Yeah.
From Star Wars.
But if you're getting technical too, if you go Imperial, that means it should be double the initial Imperial
because
it's two times.
That's right.
So it should be just doubling every time after.
So should it be a TIIPA? So triple Imperial India Pale Ale.
Yeah. Or just three times. Something like that. Mm. So, yeah.
Mm.
No.
That was a bit too technical. And,
I think it's going to continue on. Someone's just going to do it and go, oh, we've done a 7 IPA. It's like, yeah, okay, cool.
Can you fill a can with ice? So do like a 10 IPA.
Just hit the whole label. IPA. And we have about 7 A's as well.
This little PA on the end of it. Where it's like the full stop, but it's PA.
The nightmare of going to the bottle shop. Can I please have a 4-pack of the IPA? Please.
They'll be like, no, we need your handler in here.
Oh, mate. Mm. Well,
other
news?
No, I think that's about it, actually.
Yeah. It's winding down time, isn't it?
Yep.
So, yeah.
So that leads us on to round 3 of show and tell, and bringing his Christmas spirit this time is Anthony.
So, I have brought from 3 Ravens. So I've had 2 beers from them, 1 outstanding, 1 horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's their Pina Colada Creamsicle.
Mm.
And I bought it because, obviously, in Australia, it's summertime for Christmas.
I do have to ask, though, do you like Pina Coladas? And do you like Walks in the Rain?
Isn't it Dancing in the Rain?
No. Do you like Pina Colada?
Doesn't it go, do you like Pina Coladas? And song stuck in your head.
And getting caught in the rain.
Yes.
So we're all wrong.
We got there in the end.
We'll start that again. So, Goody, do you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain?
Yes. I saw it and went, well, what sort of cocktail screams parties, Christmas, just a bit of fun, and thought pina coladas are just that. Summary, you're on holidays, a bit of fun.
I think I mentioned this in a couple of episodes ago. I've tried their mango creamsicle.
Yep.
And I was thoroughly impressed by it.
Yeah. I'm a well documented anti milkshake IPA person. I haven't had really a good one. Maybe one good one, I think I've confessed to. Most of the ones I've had from Three Ravens were decidedly iffy. So I'm walking into this one with a degree of skepticism.
It's got an interesting smell.
Yeah, it's a fruited sour beer with lactose and vanilla. Pina Colada Creamsicle. It's one standard drink. It's 3.5%.
It's surprisingly clear.
So it's based on their original sour beer acid, rolled wheat and lactose to provide an extra silky body, vanilla, coconut and French oat to enhance the fluffy mouthfeel and creamy flavour, and is fermented with pineapple juice for an experience that will take you back to the swim up bar at the hotel.
Geez, lucky I'm not tired. That would have been interesting. Yeah. But fun fact, I found out the other day that I'm lactose intolerant.
Really?
So we may need to wrap this up very quickly.
There you go. You can smell the coconut and the lactose.
It's where the smell doesn't match the look. Like I said, the beer is very clear. It's got a lot of clarity, but the smell is very creamy. So you expect it to have a bit of the hazy kind of...
Yeah.
Definitely taste the vanilla, the cream.
It definitely tastes pina colada-y.
Yeah. So do you get... pineapple sour to start with, and then it's vanilla and creamy finish.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's for me, but...
No.
But it is interesting.
It's weird. It's really weird. And the concept is weird. I get it. Like pina colada, creamsicle in a beer form is going to be weird, but it's I don't know.
It's definitely interesting. Yeah, the color is a very light color. I don't know, say if you poured a little bit of pineapple juice out of the old tin pineapple cans, it's almost that sort of color.
It almost feels like they've actually used real pineapple juice because it's kind of a little bit flat.
Yeah, it's very flat.
It's kind of watery and syrupy at the same time for me. It is
a low alcohol one again. It's 3.5%.
Is it?
And one standard drink.
Yeah, which was part of the other reason I thought, let's give it a crack at one standard drink.
Mm. And if you could stand it, you could drink it all day.
Yeah. It's odd because
it is odd.
I think like you said the other day, there's some beginnings of where there's parts where you pull out and go, there's a good beer in those parts.
Yep.
They're not necessarily when you mix them all together a good beer, which is odd because I think the pineapple sour on its own would be a really nice beer.
The fragrance of it is really nice. Like, it's a nice kind of vanilla-y kind of almost sort of pipey, you know, smell to it, but that doesn't carry through the flavour for some reason. And
weirdly too, now So Long Darkness, the light coloured stout.
Yes.
If you did that vanilla and coconut stout with that creamsicle aspect in there, in this light colour, I reckon that'd be quite a nice beer. Take out the sour pineapple.
It tastes, you know, when you make if you have a lime cordial, but you put too much cordial into the mix, and it kind of got that fruity, sickly sweetness to it. It's kind of got that flavour to it.
To be fair, it is like a carbonated pina colada.
It is
like it's true to its name.
That is correct. It is a beer version of a pina colada. So if you like pina coladas
and getting caught in the rain,
I'd see people do it.
I think I'd rather get caught in the rain. Sans pina colada for me.
I don't know, we've got a pretty bad storm season coming.
It's funny because it's annoying me that there's a good beer in there somewhere.
It annoys me it doesn't taste like it smells, because it's like the what's the one for the Halloween one that you had, the one that smelled like raspberry licorice. It's like that. You smell that, it smelled amazing. It tastes
because all you medicine. Get is coconut and vanilla and the smell.
It was worse than a pash rash though.
I wouldn't know, mate.
Wow. I haven't been making out with blokes.
Beer does funny things to a man.
Or at least make sure they shave first.
Baby smooth skin.
When you're this hairy though, everything gets pash rash.
Now, what you probably mentioned before, what was the other creamsicle we had though? Was it you that had the creamsicle?
Yeah, the mango creamsicle.
Yeah.
And totally different beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It had that lactosey creaminess to it, but that really went really well with the mango. It almost tasted like a mango Weiss beer, but a lot more carbonated, like a beer should be.
And that deeds the blueberry and raspberry. It was a cream sour, so not creamsicle, but cream. So I like this one that has that nice creamy finish, but it actually matched the flavours that were there as well, so it did it properly.
Mm.
These ones, there's two opposite beers in there.
Mm.
You almost,
We're really not selling Russ on milkshake beers, are we?
Take the pineapple sour out, do it as its own beer. Take the vanilla coconut flavour and work with that as a different beer.
Yep.
Mm.
It'd be...
All right. Scores, gentlemen. What do you reckon?
Do I have to go first? I would give it a 5.
Mm.
I would have another one if it was free.
It's funny because technically kind of hits the brief, whereas pina colada.
Yep.
So they get a couple of points for that. I'm giving him a couple of points again because I think there's some flavours in there that work. They just don't work together. So maybe a 5.5.
Yeah. I think that the taste is wayward. Like, it's, yes, there's elements of the pineapple there. The coconut's gone missing in it. And like I said, it's syrupy and watery at the same time. And the score I'm going to give it matches the can. I'll give it a 3. I think that's a really poor excuse for a beer.
It's funny because I didn't get the syrupy aspect of it.
Yeah, just something with it. Just something's just, yeah, the flavour's just drawn out, and it's, yeah, it's yeah, I don't think that's great.
It's not great. I'm giving him bonuses for the fact that, yeah, it does hit the brief. Because I think we've given bonus points for hitting the brief on previous beers.
Yep.
As in, what was it? Salt and vinegar?
Salt and vinegar, yes.
Yeah. It got bonus points for that, so that's where my head was at. Three Ravens, just do it as a pineapple sour.
Mm. Yeah, pineapple sour is good.
Just do it as a pineapple sour.
Mm. So 2 out of 3 beers you've had from these guys
so
haven't
far
been good.
Yeah. In saying that, I will give them a pass on the first one simply because it was after its best before date.
Yeah.
So they actually do say on the label it needs to be drunk within the first month.
Yeah. I've had a few of their more mainstream beers, like the IPAs and stuff. They're perfectly fine, lovely. It's increasingly looking like, you know, creamsicles and milkshake IPAs are just not a beer for us.
Yeah, a lot. Their raspberry lemonade creamsicle, fantastic, because it was basically a raspberry lemonade spider.
All right, now it's time to have a look at new brews coming near use. Who's kicking us off today?
I can kick us off.
Go on, kick us off there, Woz.
There was a couple. So I obviously wasn't here for the last episode.
Yep.
But
you
would have
listened
Melbourne
a few times because such a riveting listen.
I did listen, yeah, yeah. So I was still trying to find my way back from Melbourne, as I said, after Queensland won.
Yep.
I'm really keen to try the Sea Legs All Rise on Me. That has gotten really good reviews from a lot of people, and you guys as well, so I'm keen on that one. Deeds Brewing have a barley wine sour.
Yes.
I'm really partial to a barley wine or a barrel aged.
I've never gone to barley wines. I've only had like maybe one or two, and they haven't done it for me. So I don't know.
You've got to expect the barley wine flavour.
It's more. It's a me problem rather than a beer problem. It's me. I'm just not used to that sort of style. So
I've had a couple and it hasn't hit the spot. But Deeds, exceptional beers. I think I've had one average beer from them, and I've had a fair few.
And last, Hop Nation have come out with a Candyland Milkshake Hazy.
I've seen that floating around actually.
Yeah.
So
so that one again could be hit and miss, but Hop Nation do some good stuff, so I'm keen to try that one.
No, that one did look good. I had a couple, so Mr. Banks are releasing 4 beers.
Yep.
So they've got another version of their Cake Eater coming out.
Yeah.
Last time that came out, everyone just
raved on. What is the Cake Eater? Is it
double dry hop oat cream those lines? So that was the one that sort of jumped out at me. They have a Simply Raspberry, which again, I think it's similar sort of beer, just with the raspberry flavouring. Then they have the Amarillo Feels and Make My Day. So it's sort of a range of, I think, double dry hops and just different concepts behind it. Another one I saw, and based on today's effort, I may have to skip it, but Deep Creek have a Bahama Mama coming out.
Bahama Mama.
A mango coconut sour. So those two flavours should work.
Yeah, but it's a sour, not a lactosey one, so they might be all right.
And it's Deep Creek who makes some great beers, we'll have to have a look at that one. And then Garage Project with their single hop hazy days, the Talus hop. So that's the one, same hop as you had in the Mr. Banks.
And that was quite good, actually. So I imagine Garrett Project would do some good stuff with that one.
Yeah, so that one I thought, after your recommendation on the Mr. Banks, one to keep an eye out for.
All right, so I've got a few here, actually, that caught my attention.
See the list, yeah.
All the stuff I'm probably not allowed to buy after spending $500 on a card and a beer.
It was $300, technically.
Three, yes, yeah, yes, yeah. Exactly. So Black Ops, their December release coming out next week is East Coast Low. This was first brewed back in September for the Crafted Festival. The release in the tap rooms because that festival got postponed. That's going to be this December beer of the month. It is a, they call it a wonderfully smooth hazy pale ale coming in at sessionable 4.5%, bringing juicy flavors and aromas of stone fruit and citrus. Remember when sessionable used to mean mid-strength?
Basically, between that
0.8 and 1.2. Yeah, sessionable used to be 3.5%, whereas sessionable is now anywhere between 4.5% and 5.5%. Really?
I think the issue is breweries are using the word sessionable when what they really mean is smashable.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. It's more, it's not, you can have, you know, 1.5 maybe.
Yeah. Well, the marketing department's kind of gone, just put sessionable on it. It'll sound more appealing and sell more.
You watch it. This time next year, someone will become our sessionable 8.5% triple IPA.
What the hell?
Next one I get up, two actually from Bad Shepherd. This is, first one's right up in Rush territory here. It's called Break Yule Fast, and it's a maple bacon amber ale.
Interesting.
Yeah, so... I'll more about that. And the other one is called a Tepash Spiced Beer. It's their Christmas beer.
Yes, I did see that.
So Tepash is a fermented and spiced drink made from the peel and rind of pineapples. And it's got spices of ginger root, cinnamon, smoked chipotle, chilies, star anise, nutmeg, and cloves.
Yeah, it's a Mexican style because they do a kombucha with that flavouring, which is actually quite nice. And it is very pineapple-y. So in a beer it should work.
I'll let you know how they go because I've ordered a full pack of both of those actually. Especially the maple bacon's I'm in.
there's a lot of ingredients on that list. There is a danger of it being too much.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Could be unbalanced, could be all over, but then, you know, Sea Legs with their red rum, they kind of made it work there. Yeah. So we'll see how it goes anyway. Another one, this one made me laugh. Venom Brewing. They have got, it's called an Illusion Shaker Imperial Sour, which is supposed to taste like the old Illusion Shaker with, you know, Midori, vodka, Cointreau, pineapple juice, lemon. They've even had like green food colouring to make it green as well. So
they were popular when
we were. Oh, no, right? Oh, the old Illusion Shakers and the plastic fluo green shaker thing.
That's a long time
ago. That's going back a while. Yeah, they had the RTD form for a while and, you know,
Does Midori still exist?
It does. I don't think it sells as well as what it did back in like the late 90s, early
2000s. Yeah, this is 20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. It's a while ago now. But yeah, so look out for that one. I've got a feeling that's going to get down as well as a milkshake IPA, but hey. These guys, Venom, they actually recently did, Portino.
Yes.
They made a beer that tasted like that a while back as well. They made a sour Portello beer, which,
I'm a bit of a Portello tragic.
So. Yeah, I am as well.
Different.
Yep. I've got a couple more. I won't keep you too long. Slipstream, their usual Christmas sort of stuff they do. They've got a barrel-aged mocha stout, which again, something that I quite like to get a hold of. They always do something barrel aged or rum barreled around Christmas time. So
it's interesting because that's a Santa drink because it needs to be in the cooler weather.
That's right. Yeah. So. And they sounded similar last year. It was quite nice. Sometimes they can get a bit too rummy, I suppose. But yeah, always worth a look at. And the one that screamed at me to my Kiwi heritage and my Kiwi childhood. What's the one that you had last week? Was like the
Calippo.
The Calippo. Similar thing for me. Mm-hmm. Like in New Zealand. We love Goody Goody Gumdrops ice cream, which is bubblegum flavored ice cream with little gummy lollies in it, and it's amazing. Behemoth Brewing.
It says a lot about Kiwis that it's ice cream with lollies inside.
Oh, hell yeah. We go all out with the ice cream, mate.
Do you guys have a lot of teeth, or is it?
It's diabetes. It's decreasing. but yeah, Behemoth, or it's known as Chur Brewing over here, they are doing a Behemoth Oh Goody Bubblegum Ice Cream Fruited Sour. So they're turning Goody Goody Gumdrop Ice Cream into a sour beer. So that...
Interesting.
As much as I love to indulge in some Goody Goody Gumdrop Ice Cream, I just can't imagine that being in beer form. And
be interesting to see if they do that with the lactose in there, give it the creaminess for ice cream.
I think they might have to, I suppose. Mm. Especially they're calling it ice cream fruited sour. So
you'd have to think
basically creamsicle style.
Yeah, so that'll be strange. If it was the same colour as Goody Goody Gumdrop ice cream as well, that could be disturbing because it's kind of the like a bluey greeny kind of coloured ice cream. So if that's, you pull that out of a beer can, okay, I'm not partaking in that.
Kind of reminds me of, you know, when you get to St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
Here in Australia, they get just a general, like a Carlton draft or something.
Yep.
Put and blue like food dye in, yes, to make it look green.
Yeah.
Does not work out well then.
No.
You may or may not see that colour again.
Yeah.
Well, I always upset people because every time I work at a different pub, gets to St. Pat's Day, you've got to put green food colouring in the beers. I don't want to do that. Like, this is like, you know, it's only like, you know, Forex and CB beers, which are, you know, piss anyway. But the idea of putting like green food colouring in beers, just don't. That's just stupid.
Yeah, I mean, do you really want those kind of patrons in your pub anyway?
Well, they're the only patrons we have.
Yeah, fair enough.
Let's just say craft beer sales aren't that they're high in those sort of areas.
Cool. Moving on.
That's all we got.
Yeah, I think so too. Do we have... Where's Wazza been?
I don't know. Will we have a Where's Wazza this week? Wazza?
Yeah.
Oh, stay tuned for Where's Wazza.
Clearly we discussed this earlier.
It's the planning and execution of the podcast that makes it so successful.
G'day punters, Wazza here, coming to you live from the cubicles of Tapworks at Chermside Shopping Centre. Now, I've got to warn you, if you hear some noises, that's definitely not me. That's the guy next to me, I promise. Now, for the experienced among us, sneaking a traveller into the cubicles is a great way to have a cheap night out, but we don't do that at the Pouring Old Men, that's for sure. Told you, that was the guy next to me. Anyway, sorry, back to Tapworks. They've recently reopened after COVID, much to my delight, and I've got to say, this place ticks all the boxes for me in particular. I guess what I like about it is they rotate the beer taps frequently and generally run about 20 odd craft beers on tap, so there's always something new. And I always get myself a paddle to try some of the new beers on tap, and there's always something interesting there, which is good. They've got a good range of stouts, lagers, IPAs, sours, generally some really good variety to try out. The fit out itself is great. It does lack music, live or otherwise, but it is open, has plenty of ambiance, and feels very casual. Yeah, great for a summer's day. The food's pretty good. It's definitely a pub food menu, but there's some good options on there and still plenty to keep you going. The staff themselves are friendly and engaging. I don't think they're necessarily craft beer mad, but they make it enjoyable nonetheless. And look, overall, this place is a favourite of mine, and it is close to home, which is a tick in the right direction. And look, for that reason, I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. But that's all for me for this week. I'll catch you in a cubicle nearby. Well, actually, we're not sharing them, so find your own, but keep an eye out for me. It's Wazza here coming to you from Where's Wazza. I'll see you next week.
I've got to say, just we dropped out of the top 5 for Aussie Beer Podcast. Yeah. The other week. Which
what are you people doing? Listen to us.
Well, I've got an issue. This drinks adventure guy. Yeah. He keeps the number one and number two spot. He doesn't talk about craft beer. He talks about wine and whiskey and vodka. He's ineligible.
That is true.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's
who do we petition for this?
Probably the Aussie Beer Pods guy, maybe. let's hope he's listened this far into the podcast.
And let's not hope he actually does the Drinks Adventure podcast. That's top.
Yeah, I was listening to one that's talking about, you know, ultra fine wine, blah blah blah. I was like, get out of here, there's no craft beer here.
Nah, that's cheating.
Yeah. I'd rather listen to Heston. Well, that's all we had time for on this week's episode 11 it was, of the Pouring Old Man podcast.
Legs 11?
Legs 11. Mm. First 11, I was thinking cricket theme. And yeah.
Yeah, nah, legs.
I've been Russell.
I've been Anthony.
And I'm Wazza.
And we'll catch you next time.